experiential, not cognitive. In the prophetic, the cognitive dimensions come on the second level. But if you have not mastered the first basic level, you cannot be proficient in the cognitive level. So the Holy Spirit begins from the non-cognitive perspective. And you need to be educated in these matters, just like you had to go to University of Abuja to get a degree. You will need education from the Holy Spirit because He is come from heaven. Brings the perspective of heaven. Brings the position of heaven. Brings you new eyes and new lenses from whence you can view an issue. From whence you can understand the situation. It's a whole new world. Most of us, when we give our lives to Christ, we don't understand that what we're admitted into by the Holy Ghost is called the newness of life. It's not something you know. It's something new. And because it is new, you will need a new kind of education in order for you to maximize its potential. Most of us are not diligent enough to stay under his tutelage until we begin to gain mastery. But I am trusting God that the attempt this morning will bring many of us at least to the point of getting the basic utensils to begin an adventure in the Spirit. That in the years to come will produce a result that your university degree cannot produce. So when the Spirit of truth is come, He will guide you into all reality. So my emphasis for this morning is to explain this reality in all its forms and fashions that you are likely to experientially encounter as you begin your walk with the Holy Ghost. The first dimension of reality into which it brings us is what we call substance. That's the first dimension of reality. Substance. And in order to establish this substance, I'd like us to turn to the book of Hebrews chapter 11. We'll begin our reading from verse number 1. So much in the Holy Ghost. You cannot exhaustively enjoy the possibilities and the packages that are captured in the ministry of the Holy Spirit. You cannot exhaustively enjoy. And you see, this spiritual capital, as we go on with our study, you will realize that it has no boundary. It has no end. You cannot use it up. There are so many dimensions, inexhaustible levels of possibility that are tied to the person and the ministry of the Holy Ghost. And because He has come down from heaven, we need to be humble enough to know that we do not know His ways. He has to teach us His ways. So He comes to us with a very complete educational system. If you are still with me, say amen.
Amen.
All right, so the first aspect of reality is what? Substance. Are you there in Hebrews 11? Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Right? So the Holy Ghost comes from the unseen realm. And He wants us to understand that reality goes beyond what our physical senses can engage. Our physical senses are limited in bringing perspective to things that are not tangible in the natural plane of things. The Holy Spirit wants us to be able to encounter the reality of things that our natural senses cannot verify.
So the Bible says that faith is the substance of things hoped for. Faith is the evidence of things not seen. So this evidence that the Holy Spirit makes available as a witness to things that are not yet in the physical realm, as a witness to things that cannot be seen and perceived by our physical senses, this substance that the Holy Spirit furnishes as an evidence that those things exist is what I want to draw your attention to. Are you here? Meanwhile, what we are trying to do is just, number one, when the Spirit of truth is come, He will guide you into all truth. That's number one. That's not all He does. We are still on number one, trying to explain number one before we go to number two and then go to number three. Is that clear? That's what I'm saying. And all of this that I'm teaching is in first level. The one we'll teach for this conference is first level. Before we go to second level. Then the third level is the mastery level. Where we can, when we can pray as a congregation and all of us can pick one thing. Are you with me? Carry out territorial intercession that can remove a chairman. But see, we're trying to... Are you with me? I know you don't believe, so no problem. No problem. No problem. I will still believe that maybe a few people believe, so I will continue. Alright. Let's try again. So he said, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. In order to give us further perspective, he helped us with the next verse. He said, by it, the elders obtained a good report. The word report there is, can be testimony, can be witness. But not to trouble you, if we were in class 2, that word report is critical. Because that is a product that resulted when the elders operated by reason of the substance that the Holy Ghost furnished. The substance which was evidence to things that were not in the visible realm. When the elders walked in the light of that substance, what they got as feedback was good report. Okay? So my emphasis this morning is not feedback. My emphasis is to show you that the elders operated this way. This is how the elders operated. There was something that encountered Noah. The Holy Spirit furnished that thing in the heart of Noah. Meanwhile, in the day of Noah, there had never been anything called rain. And we human beings are normally limited to our experiences. Our knowledge is limited to what we have experienced most of the time. If we begin to speak about things that you have not experienced, you are not likely to believe, because most of your knowledge is tied around experience. And Noah began to speak about the fact that there was going to be rain. It didn't make sense to his generation. But it was so real to him, even though the rain was not physically present. On the strength of that substance that was furnished in his heart, he began a 120-year construction project. And while he was constructing, that construction was a mockery from the standpoint of his generation, because there had been nothing like rain before that time. So it looked like a foolish venture. It was when the rain hit the ground that they realized that the wisest man that lived in their generation was Noah. He tapped into a frequency, he tapped into a knowledge bank which was not earthly. And that was the reason why Noah received a report from that generation that was good. But the secret behind the men of faith that we read in the Bible was that they were able to relate with a substance that the Holy Ghost furnished.
So let me take you through the basic course on substance, because that's the first way that the Holy Spirit guides us into the realm of reality. If you are still with me, say amen.
Amen.
Are you there? All right. So Hebrews 11, there are so many examples that were mentioned in the book of Hebrews 11, which is very vast. But we are going to streamline our attempt at this study. We are streamlining it to look at the life of Abraham. And then maybe if we look at his life in more detail, you will be able to discern the place of substance in his affairs. Number one, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8. By faith, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed and went out, not knowing whither he went. Imagine, God shows up and says, engineer, I'm going to take you on a trip. Say bye to your wife, take your bag, and go to the park. Meanwhile, he doesn't tell you where you are going. The question you will ask is, or the question your wife will ask is, where are we going? In the world of men, that's the natural response to that kind of a call. But the Bible says that Abraham went not knowing where he was going. The reason why that was possible was because the Holy Spirit had furnished a substance in Abraham that was superior to the question, where are we going? When you find men of faith and you look at them externally, you might call them crazy people. But you see, if you understand the inner workings of what is driving them, you will know that action the man took was the most natural action to take in the light of that which was furnished within his heart. You can't know the true story of a man of faith until you know what the Holy Ghost furnished inside of his heart. It was on the strength of a substance that was furnished in his heart, the question where no longer became an issue. It was substance-based. And if the Holy Spirit is bringing you into realities beyond the natural realm, one of the modalities that he puts in place in order for you to begin to relate with that unseen dimension is that he furnishes substance upon your heart. Can you imagine the kind of dealings that God would do to a man that will make him leave his home on a journey without knowing where he's going? The Bible says what? By faith, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, he went out not knowing where. The resources that were domiciled in his village in all of the Chaldees was not enough to support his destiny. So God had to lead him out to a place that had adequate resources to support the kind of destiny he had given him. He eventually received that place as an inheritance. This is, Abraham gave us the example of what it means to be a son. The realm of sons. Because territories are the inheritances that God bequeaths to his sons. But every son comes into that territory by walking spiritual pathways. Pathways that are spelled out by God, not pathways that are cerebral that we learned in the university. A new type of education had to bring this man to the spot where it was convenient, where it came naturally to him to respond, even though the details of the cerebral questions
that should have been asked under that circumstance were not available, but the substance was stronger than the cerebral details.
And it happens to be that Abraham is a prototype of what God wants to do in your life. So just like Abraham left home in search of inheritance, God is going to displace every son of his. Yes. And at some point, the only way you will cope is that you have a substance. Once upon a time, the Lord gave me an instruction. Instruction was so casual. But now, looking back, I can give you the 3-dimension of this instruction. The 3D aspect of the instruction I can give you now, because I've worked in it already. A little instruction that the Lord gave, the implication of that instruction was to, I didn't know when it came, all right? But in the prosecution of the instruction, I had to remain on one level for 14 years. One place. If you look at me, you will say I'm a failure. But there was substance inside of me that made me know that it is the Lord that said I should be here. You don't understand what I'm talking about. Now, if you are such a person that is given to comparison, you compare yourself with engineer, compare yourself with his wife, you are going to be frustrated, because the template in which God is dealing with you is so far different from how God is dealing with them. And you will need substance to remain where God has asked you to remain, even though it doesn't make sense in the context of advancement and the success that we preach today. If your God is the God of breakthrough, you will miss Jehovah. Oh, you are not with me. Let me explain more. I know all you've been preaching all these years is breakthrough. Huh? Once upon a time, I put my materials on cable satellite. Okay. That's the first time we were coming out from the wilderness. And God was giving us permission to be a bit visible. So when we went on cable, so many people were interested in the product that we had. And I got invitation to 17 countries. Then I went to Jesus and said, Lord, so you are opening doors for me. He said, I'm not aware of of any door. So if my God were breakthrough, I would have missed Jehovah. This lesson, how I wish we had all day to go gradually until you come into some understanding. Christianity is not a rat race. As you are running around looking for what is not lost, you will never find it, because it's not lost. He said he didn't open any door. I said, what? And those nations were good nations. That if you go, the exchange rate of their money is significant. When you come back home, you understand what I'm talking about. The next year, I had 12 invitations to 12 nations. Invitation to 12 nations. He still said he didn't open any door for me. The third year, I had 4 significant invitations and 1 terrible invitation that was not part of what I was considering. The terrible one is the one he said, that's the only one he opened. If your God is breakthrough, you will worship him and Jehovah will sneak away. It is that substance that will make you know that what looks like an opportunity is a trap. I've seen many people whose ministries ended just because they entered doors that God did not open. There was no grace for them to survive the challenges that came up, the temptations that came up, because God was not the one sending. Came back with defilement. And they had to stay in the intensive care unit of Jesus for another 6 years for purging. After the purging, there are messages, they put parables in it for people that have ears to hear. May the Lord help us in Jesus' name. We need to know the system that the Holy Ghost has put in place to manage your affairs. And I need to tell you something. Are you with me? The Bible says that if he that raised, the same Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead, if he dwells in you, then he will quicken your mortal body. You see, the reason why the Holy Spirit had to be identified as the one that raised Jesus from the dead is to make you understand that the greatest problem of a man is death. The Holy Spirit began his journey by solving the greatest problem. He raised someone from what? You didn't go to do night vigil around Jesus' tomb. Jesus rose from the dead without your prayer. And it was the work of the Holy Spirit to bring him from the dead. So a spirit that can solve the death problem can solve poverty problem. The spirit that can solve death problem can solve witchcraft problem. Don't make prosperity look like another subject. Don't make deliverance look like another subject. Those are just specialties of the same spirit. Do you understand that? You are not with me. It is not another subject. The same subject. The same person. Because the Bible says that the Lord is my shepherd. What's the implication? I shall not want. If he leads you, he will lead you out of poverty. If you are. But the point is, most of us don't spend time to know him. So you don't master his leading. And that's why all of these challenges that you have are still with you. That's the one-stop point. The one-stop solution that God gave every believer to overcome anything, because the Holy Ghost can become anything in your life in order for you to be adequately equipped to prosecute your divine purpose. It can become anything. Oh, you want to live a holy life? Who told you can attempt that without the Holy Ghost? He is holiness himself. Oh, you are trying to walk, do one religious thing apart from him. That's why you are frustrated. The challenge is you know many teachings, but you don't know the Holy Spirit. You are trying to apply teachings. But you don't understand that what God gave us is a person, is a system, it's a living system that is expected to drive your affairs. And when you operate with that currency, your life will have so much authority to do damage to the kingdom of darkness. I've hallelujah. I've read stuff. You see, they say this deliverance. And then when you read it, there's no Holy Ghost there. Just methods, techniques. The person that reads this book cannot be delivered. He's going to be so confused that he will live with his bondage for life. Because we believe in methods. But God is not a God of methods, he's a God of life. There's a difference between life and methods. There's a difference between a person and a strategy. Let us meet with the person. And then you will discover that the method he uses for you will be different from the method he uses for me. So we cannot make your own method, the method that came out of your own interfacing with him. We can't make it standard. We can't make it a formula for the body of Christ. So, and I've seen people that taught the body of Christ the methods that the Holy Spirit used to help them out as standard engagement principles and led the entire body into darkness. Because we like formulas more than the Holy Ghost. We like buttons and keys. As long as you are having keys, you are going to be a slave. Check the teachings of Jesus. He never gave keys. Check. Did you see key number one? Key number two? Key number two. Because what he was teaching was life. It's not cerebral. It's life. So that's why we must bring the teaching of the Word of God to the realm of life and teach on the administration of the life of God that is powered by the Spirit of God, so that everyone can judge their experiences and know which one is healthy. Are you here? Or you are not here? All right. If I notice you are not understanding, I will remove the hard part and give you the elementary one. There are many places I go, I try to. So I said, okay, what works here is fatty. So I change the thing. Then we now get excited. Hallelujah. I go away. Let's try again. This man had substance. And because he had substance, he didn't need to answer the question, where are we going? So part of the instruments that the Holy Spirit uses to guide us into reality, things that are beyond our thoughts, beyond our understanding, beyond our knowledge, beyond our study, beyond our education, what he does to take us beyond that level, one of what he does is that he furnishes a substance. So that substance becomes a basis for us ignoring our physical senses and the gaps in our thoughts to walk from the witness that is upon our hearts. It is when you begin to walk from your heart through substance that you will discover that the farthest distance is not from east to west. Your farthest distance is the journey from your mind to your heart. They never agree. So you choose what platform you want to operate from. But all men of faith operated from the heart through the witness of the Holy Ghost. They left their mind behind. At first you might look at them and say they are crazy. It is time that we end them a good report. Number 2, Hebrews 11:9. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. Who can see the question there? The first question was where? Who can see the question here? There's a question there. The question is when? You gave us a promise. And Jacob were dwelling in tents. I hope you know a tent is a temporary arrangement. The reason why they didn't build permanent structures was because they were waiting for the promise to come to pass. No need to build a building. They pitched tents in anticipation of that which God has spoken. In the life of Abraham, the only thing that was permanent was his altar. He built altars, but he pitched tents. But today we build tents and pitch altars. If you come
into the wilderness of the Middle East, you can actually trace the dominion of Abraham through the relics of his altars scattered across the landscape. The revelations that Abraham had was from the points of his altars. Those were the things that were permanent in his life. His tents were temporary. And the reasons why the tent was temporary was because he was waiting for the fulfillment of the promise that God has given him. Now, my question is, because the question here is, when will the promise come to pass? Have you ever asked that question before? You saw a vision of God and you were tormented by when, and the torment was so intense that you began to doubt the vision and began to make other plans. The reason why you could make other plans successfully was because you lacked substance. Substance was supposed to be the cure to the question when. Oh, there may be somebody in this hall, a lady, and you are expecting to get married. It has not yet come, and because of that, you have forgotten God. You want to begin to play side shows because this of the when factor. You see, the devil, you know Satan? Satan knows the potential, the possibilities that you can stumble upon on the strength of substance. What God needs in one family, to detonate the structures of the kingdom of darkness that may have been built for 43 years, for 50 years, is one witness that refuses to bow under the tension, under the strain of the forces of oppression, that will live from the resources of his heart and wait on God and pass the test of time. A new cycle is initiated on the strength of that one man's faith, that one man's devotion to God. The question is, are you the one who is to come, or should we wait for another person? Because God will do what he wants to do. Whether he does it with you or not, he will still do it. He will find somebody that will stand in that place and believe him. And if he wants your family, he will get it. But the point is, he may not get it by your hand. Many people have been bedeviled by the question, when will it be? Because what we teach now is Jehovah Shap Shap. Instant. It's like noodles. The God of noodles. He just shows up and he does things. This our God is a God of life. How many of you remember, those of women here that are giving birth, do you remember how slow pregnancy went? You speak in tongues, it's still 2 weeks. Oh my God. My wife with all the pillow, she will commandeer all the pillow, put one. I say, God, deliver this woman. That's the God we serve. Every process of life has a gestation period that you cannot pray away. You can't pray it off. Because God is given to process. It is through process he installs permanent structures. He changes your wiring and makes you indomitable. Through process. But you see, we started preaching a gospel of Jehovah Shap Shap in the body of Christ, and now a generation has crystallized that is not given to process. We can kill to make money. We can steal and... Oh my, it is because of process. Jesus said, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, that will be done. That will be done on earth as heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And what? Forgive us our trespasses." The road is like this. You go to the back and then you corner and then use the back door. That's the road. And then you now, if we forgive us. forgive us for the shortcuts that we took. I think we need to pray that prayer as a generation. Forgive us our trespasses.
It was not about the event. It was about the process. And when the time came that God said, okay, it is time, start the crusade. I was still praying again. Now came again. I said, but even though you are going to start, an angel will lead you. I said, oi, you have started again. You are now entering parables. Can you be plain to me, plain, an angel? What is this one? It took some months again of fasting and prayer. He now said that angel he was talking about is a human being, one evangelist that had been doing the work of evangelism for a very long time. He said, I should go and invite him, let him preach in the first meeting. So I sat down. He preached the first meeting, preached the second, preached the third, and on the fourth, the Lord encountered him in the hotel that we put him. Because he was asking God, we didn't take offering in that crusade. Massive crusade. The great ones said we should not take offering. So he came and saw a crusade where they didn't take offering. He now went to God and said, what does that boy want? Because I don't know what he wants. It was on the night, the fourth night, that God said, the young man wants to be able to work miracles. So go and pray for him. So he came and prayed for me on the crusade ground and left. From that day, even now, I can start something here. So it was not about the crusade, it was about me. And the great one will never tell you. And that's why I'm telling you, if you lose your sense of sincerity, you become blank. Become obsolete. He will leave you in the wilderness. You know, if God says, all right, get thee out of your country, leave your kindred, get out of your father's house, go to a land that I will show you. It means your possibility of accessing the mark. Is in what the map is in what it shows you. It can show you 2 kilometers in a dream. The next 2 kilometers. Then before you finish that one, it gives you a vision that will cover 5 kilometers. That means you are dependent on his spoon feeding you with visions. I hope you know you can't quarrel with such a person because he will leave you in the wilderness. Now, what I discovered is that many believers start out with the Holy Ghost and then they become wise. So he now leaves them there. And then for 7 years, your 7 years doesn't strike a chord in the realm of this. Most of us are young. I came to tell you, don't waste your life. Okay? There is someone you need to know urgently. His name is the Holy Ghost. Urgently. You need to flee away from a preacher that makes sin look trivial. Huh? You know, most of you preach grace, preach the grace of damnation. If the cure to your wrong doctrine is just know the Holy Ghost, and when you have started having a wonderful relationship with him, go and touch breast. The moment you touch breast, you will be lost in your heart. You can't find it. You will just know experientially. All these things. Go. Try. You will now know that the laws of God derive from the nature of God. Not the Holy Ghost. Most, all these things will be solved. All these things we are doing. Know him. The moment you miss your way, he will express his displeasure inside. And if you lose your virtue of sincerity, you become corrupt. Yes. He can live your life and you will not know. It unceremoniously, so quiet. You'll still be going through the motions. But new inspiration will not come. And when you are no longer receiving inspiration, it means that the map has been classified. You are no longer moving on the journey. It's now a classified map. You may not know. You still have some ability. Until after 14 years, you will discover that those abilities you had deceived you. You didn't move from that spot for 14 years. When we were growing up in the Lord, one of my friends, great prophet. If I say great prophet, believe me. He now came with one doctrine. I started preaching. I said, Oga, come. Sit down. This is your Bible. See my Bible. Oh, yeah. Teach me this thing. Because in our company then, I was a teacher. So I cross-check what you are prophesying with the Bible. When we finish prophesying, you will sit down. Okay, take. Oh yeah, let's see it here. So that was how I was. And you know, obviously, because he was into the prophetic, he had more visibility than myself. The one that wants to build will stay in the cage for long. But the one that wants to show will be everywhere, even traveling everywhere. So, he looked at me and said, why am I asking you? Now, have I traveled here before? Have I gone here? Have I? I said, well, the reason why we are not going to be friends again is on the basis of the Word of God. I don't believe that what you are teaching is in the Bible. And the Spirit of God cannot operate outside of the Logos. The mercy that Jehovah showed me is that he didn't allow me to become gifted early. Yes. Didn't allow it early. For 16 years, I was a Bible man. No gift. But if I teach you, you'll be blessed. I'll teach and go. It was after that he now opened. That, my friend, didn't make... You know that where he was... That is where he is till today. And those invitations have been shot because he went and said strange things. And they say, Kai, Satan has met this man. That's what happens when you begin with the Holy Ghost and then you now become wise. Paul says, haven't begun in the spirit, are you expecting to be made perfect in the flesh? Oh, somebody, the Holy Spirit led you and one or two things, and then you were given a car. And then that car that you were given now made you leave him because you felt that's the best the Holy Ghost can do. It means when you were coming to him, you had an agenda. The agenda was car. The purpose is car. The goal is car. That is the poverty messages that have been preached and have allowed people worship mammon unawares. May the Lord help us in the name of Jesus. Amen. By faith, he sojourned in a strange land, in a land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob. The heirs with him of the same promise. The substance that he received was stronger than the question, when? Number 3. Hebrews 11:11. Through faith, Sarah also received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past the age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Who sees the question here? The question is how? She was past the age, she had entered into menopause, and she received strength to conceive seed. How many of you have asked God how before? How shall these things be? You are asking how because you don't have substance. This Sarah was diagnosed barren when she was a teenager. Fallopian tubes were out of order. And just like the physicians, her lack of conception journeyed with her into the time of menopause. The whole issue of conception had ended. She herself had stopped expecting until God spoke. The Bible says that she received strength to conceive seed. She was past the age. Satan had so many arguments to bring into her mind to make her feel stupid for believing at that time. But the arguments of Satan was nothing to reckon with because she had substance. She had what? And many of us are using our minds to interact with God and say, hey, this thing now, how will it look like? How will it happen? He goes, he will administer substance to your heart, furnish it there. When he does that, you will be comfortable with the situation the way it is, and you will be working with God. We have exalted circumstances, exalted situations, claiming that we are intelligent. Meanwhile, it is a deficit of substance that is manifesting through our lives. Because the result of working by faith is that you are supposed to receive a good report.
Your generation, that sinful generation that you are operating with, you acknowledge that this man has access to a kind of wisdom which is not intellectual. There's something about the life of this man that is beyond his intellectuality. Because we have seen him take decisions and 12 days in the future, we have discovered that he was the only one that was wise. The central preacher was sent to the village, but the Lord was doing an allocation of ministers. His own allocation was sent into very poor area. When he got to that village, there was no place for him to rent. So the house was not to rent, he had to build it, finish building it so that he could rent it. He's not building it because the house was not good. No house, so he had to build an existing one to rent. Thank you. Then the Lord answered Job out of a wild wind and said, verse 2, who is this that darkeneth counsel by words without knowledge? It means Job was just speaking, but there was no spiritual knowledge in what he was uttering. He said, get up now thy loins like a man, for I will demand of thee, and answer thou me. You know, the Bible says counsel in the heart of a man is like deep waters, and a man of understanding draweth it out. And in this case, the way God wants to test counsel in the heart of Job is to draw the counsel out by questions. Just to see if Job has the stature to stand with him in court and contend. This is the preliminary, just to see if Job has the stature to stand with him in court. First question, where was thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare thou if thou hast understanding. That means if you were not as ancient as being present when the earth was fasting together and the foundations were put in place, you don't have enough knowledge to question me. Some of the things I rigged into the foundation is what is playing out in your life now. You will need to be ancient to understand it. So his eyes were being opened to the level playing field. Next verse. He said, who had laid the measures thereof, if thou knowest? And who had stretched the line upon it? That's the diameter. Since the earth is spherical, circle geometry. He said, who calculated the diameter? So Job is now seeing that he doesn't have what it takes to actually ask God why. There are depths in God that is responsible for what he allows, what he does, who lives, who is taken away. There are depths in him. And if you don't know those depths, you will accuse God without knowledge. Your words will be words that lack the backing of knowledge. It will not be accurate. And anybody that hears you, the little knowledge of God he has, that kind of lamentation can darken his own counsel. Have you ever seen someone before that felt frustrated in a certain church? Probably because the person wasn't willing to operate under authority and the person was disciplined. And the person now left. You will not expect that that person will see anything positive about the pastor that wanted to discipline him. If someone has an intention to become a church member in that church, if he meets this person, the person will darken his counsel. Do you understand that? Job became an object of offense to people that wanted to follow the ways of God because he claimed he had a beef with God, but God is showing him his condition. It's an ailment. He has an ailment because he doesn't have enough knowledge to sustain that position. He sustained that position without knowledge. That's how human beings operate. We don't know the depths of things. We don't know the depths of God. Oh my God, I don't have time to walk this thing. So answer now, answer. Where were you? How old are you that you want to ask God why? Even this your life, what do you know about it? Do you understand now? When this presentation finished, what happened was that Job repented and said, okay, I withdraw my case. Because he didn't have what it took to contend with God in court. Do you get it? Sit down. I knew you wouldn't need that mic. But I just said I should give you. If you had spoken anything, it would have been words without knowledge. It would have been words that can darken counsel. So we have finished number one. If the Holy Spirit wants to guide you into all understanding, what it does is that it furnishes what? Substance will answer the questions of your life. It will be stronger than your cerebral position. It will give you an opportunity to operate from your heart instead of operating from your head.
If you are experiencing persecution and people are persecuting you and you don't have substance, you will not know why they are persecuting you. You will not be able to rejoice in persecution because you lack substance. Men like Paul, they rejoiced in their persecution when they were flogged strokes of the cane for following Jesus. The reason was because there was robust substance upon their heart. And after caning them, they were expecting that they'll be broken. Meanwhile, they became more excited that they were participants in the sufferings of Christ. I know those guys caning them say, these guys are mad. You know what? A true faith people that have substance in their heart, just get used to it. People will call you mad many times. Because you're operating from substance, not from your brain. You're operating from your heart, not from your head. And I told you that the longest distance is not from east to west, the distance between your heart and your head. That's number one. Number two, God brings us into reality by light. I will stop in number two, even though I have quite some items here. Light. 1 John chapter 1 verse 5. Are you there, technical man? Quickly. I have just 15 minutes to go. In fact, I'm almost gone. So don't waste more of my time. He said, this then is the message which we have heard from him and declare unto you, that God is light and in him there is no darkness at all. Please help me preach that scripture to your neighbor. Read it to your neighbor. This is the message that we have heard from him and declare unto you. God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. If you forget anything, don't forget God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. Oh, I like this. And he said this message, we heard it from him. This was part of what he taught us in the syndicate Bible study. Look like this. In him there is no darkness at all. Alright? Did you get that? Okay, second scripture. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 13. Don't worry, I will shut down now in the next 2 minutes. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 13. Morning sessions, we'll use it for Bible study. Evening sessions, we'll do other things. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by light. For whatsoever doth make manifest, what is... You are not here. Whatsoever makes manifest is what? Now, so this second scripture gives us the nature of light. The nature of light is that it makes manifest. It makes what? Now, because God is light, God has... He wants you to walk in light, okay? So part of what he does is that he makes manifest stuff. So if you commit a sin, what God will do is that he will not cover it. He will expose it. He will expose it to you, not to the congregation. Expose it to who? The reason why he's exposing it to you is, go and deal with this matter. Because in walking with God, which is walking in light, in him there is no darkness at all. So if you want to walk with him, what he will do for you to make it easier to walk with him, who is light, is that he will make things manifest so that you cannot harbor darkness. When you begin to see the ministry of light, as God makes things manifest, don't hide it.
You do what?
Deal with it. And light doesn't only unveil sin. It's one of the things he unveils. He also unveils wisdom. A time came, I preached a message. I preached from the book of Revelation chapter 1 about John. John introduced himself in Revelation chapter 1, I guess verse 6. He said, I, John, I am your brother and your companion in the patience and the tribulation of our Lord Jesus Christ. I preached that message and I got into serious trouble. Now, what did I say? John called himself, he identified himself as our brother in the tribulation and the patience of Jesus. That means in Jesus, there's tribulation. If you are going to walk with Jesus, you are going to experience tribulation. So the disciples those days knew that tribulation was part of the package. But preachers this day, I saw a bishop trying to prove to his congregation that when Paul says, I bear in my body the marks of Christ, he was trying to prove that it was not suffering. Because he doesn't believe that in the New Testament, there should be suffering. Meanwhile, Jesus altered your salvation through suffering. That's the pattern that he created. In fulfilling God's will, you will also suffer. And he's littered across scriptures. So this bishop was trying to, because he's a prosperity preacher, and he's mandated to make people feel that there's no more suffering, and he messed up that message and lied to the people. I said there's tribulation in Jesus, and there's also a patience that our followership of Jesus will require if we are going to meet the mark. Right? I say, if it is true that Jesus sent you, it is Jesus you are serving. You are not serving results. See, two intercontinental ballistic missiles that can overcome two cities. You will know he has not heard Jesus. Because if you hear Jesus, Jesus might say, go to your village and remain there. That is the instruction. You don't understand. And then he forgets you for 5 years. When you become weary, very weary, you now come and say, yes, okay, now the destination actually. You are going to overcome two cities. Who told you? Is it Jesus? The Lord of the harvest? The one that sends laborers? There is a patience that is involved. So when I began to teach on kingdom patience, that nothing matures except it goes through process, and that process there is a lot of hardship that is involved. You want to give birth to a child? Having a child is wonderful. But the process is like a curse. And it is God that ordained it so. That's to give you an insight into the fact that God has procedures through which he makes men, and not all of them are peaceful. So when I preached this sermon, a pastor in the congregation thought I was preaching about him. Because he started a church. What was the name of the church? Healing of the Nations Church. And after 2 years, he changed the name of the church to Household of Faith. And after 2 years, he changed the name to Household of Purpose. And after 2 years, he changed it again. He made God a talkative. A pastor thought it was him I was talking to. So after the meeting, he now started insulting me with text messages that made I think that I will ride on the insults I brought on him to go into. So under such circumstances, you don't know what to do. So I went back to Jesus. I said, you are light. And light is that which makes manifest. Can you reveal the wisdom in tackling this matter? And I went on fasting for 3 days. And on the third day, he said, stand still. And you shall see the salvation of God. For the Egyptians you see today, it means they are temporal. Just endure them. He that is light made manifest his wisdom. Meanwhile, the Bible says, if any man lack wisdom, what? Let him. When last did you ask for wisdom? Because you know all the way now. You are the strong guy. You are running things. When last did you ask, can you shed light? My time's up. Like I said, we'll use the mornings to teach. The syllabus is vast. And I don't think these 3 days can prosecute the syllabus adequately. But this is the first lecture. The basic, it's called the basic lecture. On the subject, the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven. We are going to pray. So I did not respond to the pastor. Insulted me, sent me terrible text messages. For how long? I just blocked his number. He got another number, sent. Those were the days where it was easy to get other numbers. I heard now, if your line gets missing, you can't even get it back. The devil that is at work in our nation, God will arrest that devil. Amen. The devil will soon be arrested. I kept quiet. It was hard to keep quiet. Hard, the flesh. What the flesh suggested was. You used to train for martial art those days now. What did he say? Stand still. And you shall see the salvation. You see, God is too wise. God knew that if I don't fight that pastor, that many years later, the pastor will come back to apologize. And then I will be able to help him. And he wanted that to happen. So he said, calm down. How will you be wise enough to know what will happen in 10 years' time? Except God gives you light. So one of the ways by which God leads his people into reality is by manifesting himself as light. When we come in the evening, I'll continue from here, okay? Can you give me, we need a scripture to pray with. Genesis chapter 12, verse 4, I believe. Genesis chapter 12, verse 4. Wow. 12, not 14. Okay. Verse 4 says, so Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken unto him. That's my interest. He moved because there was an impression. A prayer point is easy, Lord. Make it easy for me to be led by your spirit. Can we pray that prayer? Make it easy. Easy for me to be led by your spirit. Make it easy.
Make it easy for me to be led. And Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken unto him. Make it easy for me. There are so many things. I lost my destiny. I don't have sufficient knowledge to prosecute my calling. And once and again, I will need light from you to show me how you will handle the situations that I'm in. To show me what I need to do in the circumstances that I find myself. For light is that which makes manifest. Make it easy for me to be led. So Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken unto him. Aisoseli mantoko preskavala manseli. Mezoze takumbria valamos kateli mozetia. So Abraham actually departed. Abraham actually began the journey. Abraham eventually set out on that journey. There's a man of faith here that must arise. There's a woman of faith that must arise. The whispers in your heart must translate to an activity. There is a call that is locked up in your spirit, man. And he wants you to begin to go according to that which you receive. Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken unto him. Abraham, he set foot to advance on this journey of faith. There's somebody that will need to trust God enough to set out. Trust God enough to move. Trust God enough to take off. Trust God enough to believe him by moving. He departed as the Lord has spoken unto him. I'm a Messi Kamal. Messi Kamal. Oh, Lord, you reign forever, you're the same. Mama, mama, gave me a song. I can't forgive mama. Mama, yeah. Fire. Help me with that song.
Mama,
that's the song of the Spirit for the moment. Say, compel on this, compel on my. Lord, you reign
forever, you're the same.
Forever, you're the same.
I am
a true believer.
Mama, you lift up me as you lift up your son. You gave me a son. I got my true
Mama,
Mama,
Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for your words of life that is shaping and molding our very realities. We give you glory. Lord, we pray that prayer again. Make it easy for us to be able to obey you and walk with you. In the name of Jesus. From this meeting, we ask that you raise men of faith. Men that will carry life. Scripture says, in him was life, and that life was the light of men. Make us carriers of life and light. In the name of Jesus. We give you glory. In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Please be seated. Amen. Let's take a few announcements. This session is deliberately short because there is something we need to do very, very briefly after now. So let's welcome our brother as he gives us the announcement. Please put your hands together for Jesus.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I believe we are blessed. Few announcements. The evening service will start exactly 4 p.m., but there will be pre-prayers by 3 p.m., so please, let's try to come early. If you do not come early, I'm not sure you sit inside. And I want everyone that is here. And I believe everyone that is here wants to sit inside the hall this evening. Hallelujah. Papa's books are available. They are the book stand outside. Please go there and ensure you get one for yourself. They will actually be of great help in this season. Hallelujah. The groundbreaking ceremony we hold immediately after we share the grace at the ministry land just behind us here. You can pass through Specialist Road, but there's a trespass. If you are not mobile, there is a shortcut, a trespass behind here that the ushers will lead us to pass through. Hallelujah. 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 I want to call on Pastor Ame to close us. Sorry, please, I forgot. The book launch is coming on this evening, please. Let's prepare our mind towards it. Apostle Paul Bango's book. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. If we all be mightily blessed, let's be on our feet as we pray. Our Father and our God, we thank you for this mighty move of your Spirit. Thank you for what you've done. Thank you for the outpouring of your grace. Thank you for wisdom. Thank you because our lives will never remain the same in Jesus' name. Even Lord, as we continue to go for the groundbreaking takeover in the mighty name of Jesus.